Good morning, church family. That was the best good morning I've ever gotten, I think, right there. That was wonderful. It's great to see you guys here today. It's a great chance we have to be worshiped together. We know that God continues to bless us, and God is still in control, and he always has been, and he always will be. And we should be grateful for that as we are joined here together today. Hopefully, as you're coming in, you were able to grab one of the bulletins. Always some great information in there to help you know what's going on each and every day, kind of around Graham Street, some of the things that are there. But there are those QR codes within the bulletin that will take you to either the church website, where you can find sermons or other information that's on there. It can also get you to the Graham Street Youth webpage as well, so that you can see lots of information and things that are going on, even beyond just what's here in the bulletin itself. But if you didn't get to grab one of those on your way in this morning, just grab one on your way out today. I do have a few things I want to remind you guys about. Children's Church has started back up again. We will dismiss for that a little bit before David gets up for the sermon today. It's for ages 3, 4, and 5. And the nursery is also available for those that are under the age of 3. So either one of those, please make use of that when we get to those times for things. The nursery is there available all during worship this morning if you need to use that. I want to remind you guys about some things for this week. We'll have our Wednesday night classes continuing that we started up this past week. I'd love for you guys to be out as we talk a little bit more about the names of God and who he is. And that starts at 6:30 on Wednesday nights. We've got various classes that go on here in the building. We also have the youth group Revive that goes on at 6:30 across the street in the Family Center. Revive has a meal that begins at 6:30, but there is a meal that's available at 5:30 for those that are coming to the other classes here in the building. So if you would like to come for that meal at 5:30, we ask you to come and join us and be there. And about 6:15, everybody will start to wrap up over there and come over for classes. And then the youth group will stay over there in the Family Center for our meal at 6:30 and for our time together during Revive. Next Sunday, we will have our Graham Street Youth Group lunch. That will be at the Lamberts, so I'll be sending out information. The bulletin just says location to be announced, but we got that location set up now. So next Sunday after worship, youth group lunch, we will be at the Lamberts. Don't forget, this coming Saturday is our church-wide picnic hosted by the Duracells out at the Hearns Farm. So this Saturday, September 18th at noon, hamburgers, hot dogs, lemonade, water, all that's going to be provided for you. What we do ask that you bring is desserts and chairs. And there's going to be lots of fun activities going on. There'll be a pinata for the kids. There'll be a hayride. Please come out and join us. We would love for you to be there. It's something that it's not just for any one age group. This is for everybody at Graham Street. So if you can, please join us next week at, or next Saturday at noon out at the Hearns. If you do need a ride, let Don or Jeanette Parker know, and they will get things coordinated and worked out for you to get a ride out to the Hearns. But it'll be a great chance that we have to be together as a church family next Saturday. This morning, as we get started, we'll be in John chapter 4. Jesus replied, "Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." Let's pray together. Father, we are a blessed people because we are yours. Father, we're grateful that we have an opportunity to be united and joined together today to worship you. Father, we know that the things that we get to do in this world, the blessings that we have received, the joys that we have, Father, that it all comes from you. Father, we're mindful that 20 years ago, there was great tragedy in this country. And Father, it still lives on today. The hurt, the pain, the struggle, the sorrow that's there. Father, we are so grateful for those that were courageous that day, that gave their life for others. following in the footsteps and the example of your Son. And Father, as we know that there's so many that have sacrificed, that have given of themselves, Father, that brings joy. It brings joy to you. It brings joy to those families to know that those were servants of God. Father, we know that in this life, in this world, that there will be struggle, that there will be hurt, that there will be pain. But Father, if we turn to you, if we put our hope and our trust and our faith in you, Father, that you will take care of us, that you will provide for us, and that you will see us through. Father, as we have opportunity this morning, may we sing out and sing praises to you as we rejoice together, knowing that you are God and that you have sacrificed everything for us to be with you again one day in heaven. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Good morning. Let's sing out to God, church. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing a song of the redeemed. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing a song of the redeemed. Amen. So this next song, when the chorus comes on, I'm going to go like this and ask y'all all to stand, please. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Amen. You may be seated. On bended knee I come, with a humble heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to you, as I pledge my love anew, I worship you in spirit, I worship you in truth. Make my life a holy praise unto you. On bended knee I come, with a broken heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne. As I look upon your face, showing mercy and your grace, change my life, O Holy Spirit. Make me fresh and ever new. Make my life a holy sacrifice to you. A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord. A common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word. A common love for another, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord. A common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word. Amen.
We sang this song last week in preparation for the Lord's Supper, and we'd like to sing it again this morning. But we kind of want to carry on that theme of worshiping God in spirit and truth as the chorus teaches us here. So if you would, sing with me. Oft we sing, come together. Oft we sing and pray. Here we bring our offering on this holy day. Help us, Lord, thy love to see. May we all in truth and spirit worship thee. May we keep in memory all that thou hast said. May we truly worship as we eat the bread. Help us, Lord, thy love to see. May we all in truth and spirit worship thee. May we all in spirit, all with one accord, take this cup of blessing given by the Lord. Help us, Lord, thy love to see. May we all in truth and spirit worship thee.
When we think about those words in that chorus, I wonder sometimes, do we truly see God's love for us? And do we see the eternal impact of his love for us? And also, do we show our love to God? And do we reverence him and honor him in our worship and taking the communion together as we do each week and also in our daily living? Think about these things as we partake this morning. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you love us. We're thankful for your grace and your mercy that you've extended to each and every one of us. And we're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for his love, that he was willing to come and be that sacrifice on the cross, that he gave himself willingly so that we can be in relationship with you. We ask this through Christ. Amen. Pray with me again, please. Our Heavenly Father, we continue our thanks to you. And we're thankful for Jesus and for his willingness to come and to shed his blood on the cross. That through that blood, we are, each one of us, are washed clean. That we can be in a right relationship with you. And that we can live with you one day. Thank you so much for that sacrifice. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
All right, it's that time again for Children's Church. We're going to start out by being able to make our children's offering, and once we get done with the offering, our kids ages 3, 4, and 5 can head upstairs to the loft where Nicole is waiting for you there. Don't forget on this children's offering, this is an incredible thing that these kids get to be a part of. We have several different missionary efforts, whether it's something local or something that's international, that we get to help provide Bibles for. And the money that the kids get to bring up here for that goes towards raising money so that we can purchase those Bibles. So as the song plays, the kids can come down, and then those that are 3, 4, and 5 can head up to Children's Church.
For the Bible tells me so.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Church, let's pray together. Bow with me. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray for your Spirit to come. We ask, Father, that in your name, glorifying you and praising you today and honoring our King Jesus, that we will remember that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we are the living temple of the Holy Spirit, that as we live our lives, we're the bearer of the fruit of the Spirit. We ask, Father, for our lives to reflect that we are a Spirit-filled people. And may your Spirit come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm glad to be here today. I hope you are too. We've been doing this series of lessons on getting back better than normal. And it's an exciting thing, I think, to think about seeing the different parts of what we're doing that we're finding ways to do it better. And I'm excited about that. What Wes introduced to us this morning about our family emphasis, we're going to be talking more about that as we go along, and we'll be emphasizing that this day, but also as we go in the future. Our classes are back up. Our Wednesday night classes are going. One of the things we want to do is to improve in our worship, to do a better job of honoring God in our worship, of building up one another. And we've been looking at, how do you do that? How do you celebrate what God is doing among us and has done in worship? So let me give you a quick review of some of the things we've said about worship so far. We said there are these three elements that we saw in the Ezra and Nehemiah story about worship after they had finished rebuilding the temple, after they've rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, and they're going forward and building the infrastructure to make Jerusalem a great city again. They worshiped God and gave Him the honor and the credit for it in joyful celebration and in reverent submission and loving edification for each other. So we said to begin with a joyful celebration, that the key element in joyful celebration is thankfulness. If we come to our worship with thankful hearts, if we're excited to express to God we're thankful for what He's done for us, it will improve our worship. It'll make us be more worship-minded. It'll help us to really feel that we have worshiped. And best of all, God will receive what we're offering to Him as a thank offering to Him. We said last week as we studied worship that our worship needs to be in reverent submission. And we talked about these three elements of reverent submission. We need to react as if what we're hearing is God's word. Oftentimes we don't honor what we hear from the Bible as really being God's voice speaking to us. We approach it as if in a nonchalant way that, okay, that's what we do in worship. One of the things that we saw in both Nehemiah and Ezra, when the word of God was read, they stood and they acted like they were listening to the voice of God. And they bowed down with their faces on the ground in this reverent submission to the word of God when they heard it. We also talked about the fact that we need to restore in obedience. For example, they realized that they weren't honoring the Passover. And so they immediately restored the Passover observation and the feast of bread that went with it. We also see them restoring the Feast of Tabernacles because they realized they weren't doing it. They restored the priesthood. They restored the temple rituals and the sacrifices. When they read God's word and they heard that there was something that they needed to do differently than what they were doing, they restored it in obedience to God's will. And then we also see that they responded from the heart. We talked a little bit about how they raised their hands because their heart moved them to raise their hands. They bowed because their hearts were moved to bow before God. They repented of their sins because their hearts moved them to do that. They confessed their sins one to another. And all of those things come from responding in worship from the heart. And we need to have that as a part of our worship. So this morning, I want to focus on something that we've been saying already this morning. And that is that we need to worship in spirit and truth. In the passage that Wes read in our beginning of our service, and we're going to read it again, emphasizes the idea, if you're going to worship in a way that pleases God, it has to be worship in spirit and truth. But let me emphasize the first part of that before we get into what spirit and truth means. It's not about pleasing us. It's about pleasing God. And I think that's one of the problems that we have in our worship oftentimes. And I'm not just talking about Graham Street Church of Christ. I'm talking about worship in general. And I think it's especially a problem in America. If we're involved in church, we want church to be our way. We're a place of so much freedom. We have so many choices. And we're used to being able to go make our choices, and no one forces us to choose a particular thing. We have our choice, and we can pick out what we have. I have worked with people who have come to this country as refugees in the past. And one of the things that's almost overwhelming for them, maybe it is overwhelming, is when you take them shopping and they see all the choices that they have. It's just overwhelming for them to look at the shelves and see not just that there are things on the shelf, because where they're coming from, there are no shelves and there's nothing on the shelves so much of the time. But they come and they look in our grocery stores and they have so many choices. The other day, I was shopping with Vicki, and I'm still doing a few things. It's a little hard for her leg to do right at the moment. And she wanted me to get this can of soup on the bottom row of all the soup. And she was telling me exactly where it was located, but she hadn't yet told me what it was I was getting. She was explaining what shelf it was on and what it was next to and all of that. And I was thinking, what is it that you want, Vicki? Give me the name of what you want. You know? And I'm thinking, wow, look at all the choices. I mean, she felt like she was going to have to describe exactly where it was, and she probably was. If you knew how much I hate shopping, you know that's probably true. She had to explain exactly where it was. But there were so many different kinds of soup and so many different brands and all of this. We have a choice. And so when we come to worship, we think we have a choice. It's about us. And we shop for our churches, and we shop for our style of worship, and we shop for our style of preaching. And there's probably some good in that. But I think it's important that we remember who we're out to please. It's not to please us. It's not to please me. It's to please God. And what Jesus said to this woman at the well was, if you're going to please God in worship, this is what you need to do. Because that's the objective, is pleasing God. So let me read it again. Wes did a great job of reading this before, but let's read it again for emphasis. And I want you to think of what Jesus is saying. And if you don't remember the story, remember they come into town. This is in Samaria, and this is a Samaritan woman. And there is basically no relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews don't want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. And it's a crude, rude term to use, but this is the idea that the Jews had about the Samaritans. They're half-breeds. They've got way off a track of being Jews, both racially and religiously. And they don't want to have anything to do with them, much less with a Samaritan woman. And as you read the story, you find out she's a sinful woman. And so Jesus strikes up this conversation with this woman who is a Samaritan who comes to draw water at the well. And they begin having a conversation. And Jesus asks her about her husband. And she says, I'm not married. And Jesus answers her that she's answered correctly, that she's had several men and that she's not married. And she realizes by his answering her that way that he must be from God. He must be someone like a prophet who has come. And so she asks him a question that is important on her mind, but also to test to see, who is this guy? So in verse 19 of chapter 4 of John, Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place that you must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. And he says that time is coming and now is. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet the time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. I want you to notice that Jesus is answering this question, saying that a time is coming. He says that twice. A time is coming when things are going to be different, and it has started now. Something that Jesus has brought has started this change in worship. Now, what does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? The way we most often answer this question is in defining the word spirit and truth in connection with obedience and with the right heart. And let me say this before I complicate things. I believe we need to worship in obedience and with the right heart. I don't believe that's what Jesus was talking about. But the fact that I don't believe that's what Jesus was saying, please don't understand that I'm saying that worshiping in obedience and worshiping with the right heart are unimportant and are not what Jesus commanded. But is it what Jesus is talking about? So let's explore this a little bit. In spirit cannot be to worship with the heart or the right attitude or enthusiastically. And the reason why I say that is God has always commanded that. God has never commanded that we are to worship half-heartedly or without the right attitude or with an unrighteous heart, any of those things. God has always commanded that. Remember, whatever it is that Jesus is talking about is new. And that wouldn't be new. Same thing with truth. In truth, we most often hear people say it's saying it needs to be in obedience to the Word of God, to the commandments of God, to the truth of God's Word, something along that line. But when did God ever not command that? It's always been a commandment of God that you worship according to His commands. So if we define what Jesus is meaning by spirit and truth as being with the right heart or attitude and being according to the obedience of God's word, God's truth, then how is it new? How is it something that's different from what's going on before? Notice the right heart and obedience in Deuteronomy 26, verses 16 through 19. The Lord your God commands you this day to follow these decrees and laws. Carefully observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have declared this day that the Lord your God, that you will walk in obedience to Him, that you will keep His decrees, commands, and laws, and that you will listen to Him. And the Lord has declared this day that you are His people, His treasured possession, as He promised, and that you are to keep all His commands. He has declared that He will set you in praise, fame, and honor high above all the nations He has made, and that you will be a people holy to the Lord your God, as He promised. Now, you can't read that and think that it would be okay for the Jewish people to worship with a bad attitude or with the wrong heart, and that it would be okay for them to disobey God. That command has always been a part of the teaching of God's will. You can go all the way back to Cain and Abel. It's always been a part of it. So Jesus is saying to this woman, look, it has been true in the past that you worship in Jerusalem. That's been the teaching of the Jews, and salvation comes from the Jews. It starts there. But something new has come, and it's starting now, implying it's starting with Him. So what does it mean? What does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? Notice the question. She's asking, where do we worship? There's an implication here that she's talking about the temple. We Samaritans say that you should worship in the Samaritan temple on this mountain. You Jews say you should worship in Jerusalem, in the temple there in Jerusalem. Where is it that we're supposed to worship? What do you say? You're a prophet of God. What do you say? Where is it that we're supposed to worship? Notice the answer that Jesus is giving to the question deals with where to worship. Because he implies in the answer about position or place. He says, in the future, the place of worship is changing. And it's already started. The place of worship has changed. The place of the worship is a different temple. Now stay with me because we can't look at all these scriptures this morning, but I want you to remember them. And if you want to go online later and look at this sermon again and look at the specific scriptures and study them, I want you to know that Jesus is saying there's a different temple. It's not the Samaritan temple. It's not the Jerusalem temple. It's not any house built by man. In the future, there's going to be a different temple. And we are that temple. The people of God are the temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 12. All of them state the idea that individually and collectively, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22 says that God dwells in us as his temple, talking about the church, through the Holy Spirit. So you have it from two different ways of looking at it. One is the Holy Spirit himself dwells in us. And secondly, that God dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Individually as Christians and collectively as the church, we are the temple of God. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Before the passage that deals about singing, it says, be filled with the Spirit. When we sing, it should be singing because we're filled with the Spirit, according to 5:18, and then 5:19, it talks about our singing. We're the temple, and the Holy Spirit lives within us. We are the temple, and the priest offering the sacrifices and the sacrifice that is offered. Now that may be confusing. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul said, I beseech you, brothers, that you give yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, for this is your spiritual worship. Giving yourselves as a spiritual sacrifice to God. That is your worship. And it's a living sacrifice. He's not asking us to kill ourselves, but he's asking us to die to ourselves so that we might live for him. And we give ourselves to God. We are the priest offering the sacrifice, and we are the sacrifice, according to Romans chapter 12. That's new. That's different. That was not emphasized in the Old Testament. That was not a part of worshiping in spirit and truth in the Old Testament. There was a form of worshiping in spirit and truth in the Old Testament, of being obedient to the truth of God's will and having the right attitude or the right spirit. That was part of the Old Testament. But Jesus said, this is new. And what's new now is you have a new temple and you are going to be that temple. And it's already started. That movement has already started. With my coming and the bringing the Holy Spirit, it's going to come upon the people of God where every individual who is baptized into Jesus Christ, not only do they come in contact with the blood of Jesus receiving the forgiveness of their sins, but they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's something we haven't emphasized as much as we should. We quote Acts chapter 2, verse 38, explaining what we believe about baptism. but we don't emphasize what it says about baptism. Yes, there is forgiveness of sins, and we're so thankful for that. That when we're baptized, we're forgiven of our sins. But what about the emphasis on, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? And what Jesus is telling this woman of Samaria is that the people of God who are going to please Him in worship are people who worship with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within them. And the church is filled with people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's where our worship comes from. But that's not all of what he's talking about. He says, and you worship in truth. And this may stretch some of you, but I want you to think about the fact that Jesus said in John, you don't even have to read the gospel where we're reading this story. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The truth is the true high priest between us and God. It's not a man. It's not a system of the priesthood. It's not a system of sacrifices and holy places and a holy altar and a holy of holies. It is Jesus Christ. And I can't please God in my worship without coming through Jesus Christ. If I'm going to worship in spirit and truth, I need to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And my worship needs to be as a priest offering myself as a sacrifice that is made possible by the intervention of the high priest, Jesus Christ. That's what Hebrews chapters 8 through 10 is about. All of that section is about everything that you read about the sacrifices and the priesthood and the holy place and all of that stuff. Now, I know you're not going to find it worded quite like that in Hebrews, but that's what the Hebrews writer is saying. All of that stuff that you read about, all that stuff that you're trying to hang on to as Jewish people, I'm telling you, it's been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And He is our high priest. And He Himself offered Himself as the sacrifice for our sins. He is the Lamb of God. He died for our sins. And because He died for our sins, we need to be living sacrifices. That's our spiritual worship unto God. And so we have this statement in Jeremiah chapter 31. And part of what Jesus is dealing with here is the fact that in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, there is a day coming that Jeremiah prophesies about where the law will no longer be written externally, but it'll be written on our hearts. It'll be written on our hearts. And our covenant with God will not be based on the externals of being the nation of God or having a written law, or having the external priesthood, but it'll be the God covenant that's on our hearts. And we find in the New Testament where that is said to be fulfilled. In fact, it takes the words right out of Jeremiah 31 and quotes them in your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 8. And it tells us exactly how that has been fulfilled. Jeremiah 31 has been fulfilled through the Holy Spirit within us and Jesus Christ as our high priest. What was going to come has come, the Hebrew writer says, through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ. The Spirit and truth. So if we're going to worship God in a way that pleases Him, we need to worship Him in the Holy Spirit and in the truth of Jesus Christ being the true high priest. Does that take away from the idea that we need to be obedient to the commands of God? Absolutely not. In fact, what it should do is inspire us to be even more obedient to God's commands. We need to find out what God wants us to do, but He has given, remember, He has given all authority to His Son to command us. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the beginning of the Great Commission. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Jesus is the King. He's the high priest. He is the leader of everything that we do. He is the head of the church. He has been given authority by God. Yes, we're still supposed to obey the truth of God's will as given to us by Jesus Christ. It doesn't take anything away from that. Does it take anything away from the idea that we need to worship with the right heart, the right attitude, and so forth? Well, Jesus Himself taught in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, when you pray, don't do it to make a show of yourselves. When you give, don't give so that you show everybody how much you're giving. He said, in fact, when you pray, go lock yourself in a closet. If you can't pray without making a show of it, go and be in secret where the God who hears you in secret will listen to your prayers. Jesus said, our worship needs to be, Matthew chapter 15, not according to the traditions of man, but according to the teaching of God's will. Jesus said, hey, don't say unto me, Lord, Lord, and think it's going to make everything okay, because only those who will be saved are those who obey the teachings of God, according to Matthew chapter 7. So it doesn't take anything away from being obedient and doing it with the right heart. But brothers and sisters, we need to be faithful to the teaching of Jesus here. Jesus said, this is new. This is not like the old stuff you've heard. This is not like the old law. This is not what the Jews are teaching. This is not what you Samaritans are teaching. This is new. Where you worship is not a place. It's here. Brothers and sisters, if we want our worship to be pleasing to God, we have got to come back to the simple reality that we are the temple of God. All over the world, you'll find great sanctuaries that have been built, cathedrals that have been built for worship to God. Many of them are abandoned. Many of them sit empty, and the only people who visit them are tourists. All over the world. Right here in our own country, there is a decline in Christianity. And more we're having abandoned buildings, or buildings that sit almost empty on Sunday morning. Why? Oh, and we could talk about all the cultural changes and all the things that interfere with our belief and so forth. But one of the reasons why it has happened is because we have forgotten what the temple of God really is. The temple of God is not about a building. The temple of God starts with me as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you as the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where it starts. Before you get in your car to come here on Sunday morning, worship has already started. And on Monday morning, when you get up to go to work, it continues. What we do on Sunday morning when we have the privilege, the honor, the wonderful gift of God to be able to come together and join together in our worship, what we do is join what we've been doing all week together and point it in the direction of God and toward each other, that we'll be able to go out there Monday through Saturday and keep worshiping. Keep being what God has called us to do. Keep listening to the Holy Spirit and bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And keep looking at Jesus as being the true high priest and the only way to the Father. The Lamb of God who offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. He is the priest and he is the sacrifice. And he sits on the throne right now as our King. And we worship him not just on Sunday morning, but every day of our lives. And if we lived with worship every day of our lives, we'd come back Sunday more able to worship together. We would be better at it because we've been fighting to do it all week long. And dealing with that grumpy boss, dealing with those hateful people that stand in line to tell us about how we're wrong and how we're cheating them, out there in the sweat and the dirt doing our job, out there in families that aren't functioning, and we get back together with people that we love that are trying to do the same thing that we've been trying to do the other 7 days, other 6 days of the week, and we get together, and it is a joyous celebration to be together because we've been worshiping all week long, and now we're going to get a chance to do it together. I believe if we had that attitude, it would change our worship. You wouldn't have to get up and hype people into singing. You wouldn't have to pick just the right song so it pleased everybody. You wouldn't have to worry about your flowery sermons and doing your announcements just right. And whether you used little cups in communion or whether you had a big bowl up here to sop bread in, it wouldn't matter. Because all week long we've been trying under duress and oppression to worship God. And now we have the freedom of getting to do it together. I believe it'd make a difference. So, the goal of our worship, individually and together as a church, is to worship in spirit and truth. Which means it will not be about pleasing ourselves, but it's focused on pleasing God. And that means our worship is through the leadership of the true high priest, Jesus Christ our Lord, who offered himself as a sacrifice for us. And now as our priest under Christ, we as priests are striving to be like him. Our high priest offered himself as a sacrifice. So we, in trying to be like him, which is a disciple, we offer ourselves as priests of God, as living sacrifices that have been set on fire by the Holy Spirit that lives within us. You remember that song, Light the Fire? What are we saying? Light the fire. What if the Holy Spirit really listened to us when we sang that song? What if the Holy Spirit said, hey, they mean what they're singing, and really lit us up? I mean, really lit us up and said, man, these are the temples of God that's going to go out in the world and make a difference. They're ready to worship, not just on Sunday morning, but every day of the week. I'm going to light them up. And they're going to let the fire of Jesus spread in this community. It would make a difference. And it would make a difference next Sunday morning when we came back together to worship again. You know, when you say, hey, how you doing? You'd have a story to tell. It wouldn't be, hey, I'm fine. Alabama won this week. Who cares? Exactly. What have I said? I knew Jesus was at work in my life this week. Let me tell you how. I feel like the Holy Spirit was moving me this week. I bore fruit this week. What if the Holy Spirit really lit us up, folks? You wouldn't have to tell each other, hey, you know, when you come together, first off, show up. And second, when you show up, show out for Jesus. I mean, you wouldn't have to tell anybody. We would have a hunger to be back together to worship because we've been worshiping all week long. So, George, help us sing. Okay? Let's light that fire. Okay? Let's stand.
I stand to praise you, but I fall to my knees. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak. Light the fire in my soul. Fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been. So light the fire in my heart again. I feel your arms around me as the power of your healing begins. Your spirit moves right through me like a mighty rushing wind. Light the fire in my soul. Fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been. So light the fire in my heart again. Light the fire in my soul. Fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been. So light the fire in my heart again. Amen.
I have a note from Sherry Caraway, and I'm going to read it to you. I want to thank everyone for the prayers, text, and love shown to me during the loss of my brother. I'm truly blessed to be a part of this congregation. After losing two of the most important men in my life, I feel very broken and alone. I know that God is good, and He has a plan for me. I would greatly appreciate your prayers for strength, comfort, and peace. We'll certainly do that for you, Sherry. We appreciate you too. Thank you for being here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you're here. Thank you, George, for your songs. Thank you, David, for your lesson. I want to read from Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the great love that you've shown to each one of us. We're thankful that you want to be a part of our lives and that you want us to be in your life as well, that you want to have a relationship with us. We're so grateful for that. We live in troubled times. There's much discouragement out there and much upheaval all around the world. May we look to you. May we not be discouraged. And may we have the strength to look to you. We know that you'll be with us wherever we go and that you'll never leave us. Help us to always keep that in mind. Help us to serve you from day to day. Thank you for all that you've done for Jesus and for the sacrifice, for the love that you have for us. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
We want to use the power and gift of your family to strengthen our Graham Street family. Here at Graham Street, we want our families together as a church family to get connected and stay connected. But we also want to share that connection with our community. That's why we are dedicating our second Sundays of the month for you to intentionally reach out and connect with others within our Graham Street family so that together we may reach out and connect with those who need a church family. There are some things in life that just don't work without the help of others. Your spiritual journey is one of them. When it comes to that, we are much better together. Let's get connected.
Not that our Sunday schedules are ever confusing enough for everybody to say, is it a first Sunday, a second Sunday, a third Sunday? What we want to try to start doing on our second Sundays, and we'll really truly get it kicked off going into October. We're going to have some things that'll prep you going into that. But on our second Sundays, we're going to make that an extension of what our small groups are that we typically have on our first and third Sundays. But it's going to be a different kind of small group. It's going to be your family. And that can be if it's just you individually, whether you've got a family of six, whether you've got a family of 22, whatever it is. But that's where it's going to start. You can already see that within your bulletin, we have some questions, some thoughts that we're going to try to help encourage you guys with. But as we get into our second Sundays each month, we will actually have some ways that we're encouraging and even challenging you as a church to reach out beyond just your family. To find ways to connect to each other better here at Graham Street, but then also beyond these walls. And we see that as a continuation of our small groups ministry and what we're doing, and it starts with your family. So second Sundays this fall is going to be dedicated to what we're going to call our Graham Street Family Connection. And kind of what you heard in the video, what we're trying to get you guys to understand is we can't do this alone. It's not something that's on our elders to do. It's not something that's on the ministry staff to do. It's not something that's just on our deacons to do. This is every part of our church body that we're asking to be involved with this, to reach out, to better connect who we are at Graham Street, but who we are also in this community. So what I would ask for you today, since we don't have anything specific set aside today other than you getting to go and kind of check out what we're going to be coming into and some of the questions and things like that, is to spend some time praying about this. And I'll be honest, it's real easy just to say, oh yeah, yeah, we'll do that. But if you make it intentional, if you make it something that you want to do, if you make it a priority in the things that you want to do, you'll choose to do it. And again, it's a challenge. It's not just something that we're laying out there saying, oh, it's just to fill in for a second Sunday. This is something that we really and truly are wanting to do as a church. One, so that we're not just a church of a bunch of small groups, but that we're a church that's connected, a church that it doesn't matter which family you're a part of, you're part of God's family, and you're part of this family here at Graham Street. So if you would, please be praying about that today and in the weeks to come. And as we get into October with it, you'll see that we'll have, like I said, some challenge and even some activities, things that will push you to respond so that we can see that and we can be a part of that.
So based on what Wes said, let's pray. And we'll be dismissed with this. And Sherry, I'd like to pray specifically for you during this prayer. Thank you for your example. Let's pray. Father, we want to be a church family that's connected to you, connected to each other in this family, and connected to people in this community that needs our love and our showing the love of God in their presence and being able to help them to find love of a family. We pray for families here in this church, no matter what size, what they look like. We pray for people like Sherry that feel they're by themselves right now. We pray for people that are struggling because their family is large and they have conflict and they have difficulty. Whatever it is, we pray for our families. And we pray that this connection that we're trying to emphasize will help us to show better your love. I want to pray for Sherry this morning specifically. I want to ask for your intervention through the Holy Spirit in her life to give her the strength that she needs right now as she's hurting so much. And may she know that no matter how alone she may feel at times, that she's never alone, that she is constantly in the presence of her God, and your Holy Spirit indwells her. And that she has a loving family in this congregation that will not let her go without our showing that we love her. We ask, Father, that you will help us to be aware of those that we are not aware of, that need that same type of love. Help us to follow what we are learning through Sherry, to love everyone in this congregation that feels alone. And we pray you'll bless us to go out of this building today and still be the temple of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.